You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
So we're talking about what happens to a person when they die if they are a believer. There's so many fingers to this topic, as many of you know. I didn't want to just simply talk about heaven. What I wanted to do was talk more specifically about what happens if you die as a believer. Or maybe, you know, look at some of these questions, like, where are your loved ones right now that have died recently or years ago? What are they doing? And then, will I see them again? Will they recognize me? And those are very pertinent questions for anybody to answer, but especially a believer, because we would not be the first people that are believers to walk past a casket and behave as if that's the last time we're going to see somebody. It drives me crazy. I know we're mourning. I know we are sad. But if we could see through the veil of the other side of heaven, we might be a whole lot different in our mourning, you know, in our weeping. It might be for a little different purpose. For instance, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. All right, here's what Paul told the Thessalonians, because they had been misled by some false teachers about what happens to a person when they die. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are dead. They called it asleep. So that you will not grieve like the rest. Who's the rest? Unbelievers. Believers need to grieve a certain way. Unbelievers need to grieve another way, because they have no hope. All right, he said this. In light of that, verse 18, encourage one another with these words. And so that's my purpose pretty much in this deal. What happens when people die if they're Christians? Number one, I want you to be informed. Number two, I want you to be encouraged and comforted, okay? Because you're going to see that the word comfort is a huge deal for people that die, even in Scripture, and have gone on to heaven. I want to clarify some things, but I also need to tell you something. I ain't got this figured out. I wasn't supposed to. And if you say you've got it figured out, you ain't got it figured out either. But who cares? I just need you to get to heaven. And then I need you to know that once you get to heaven, you ready? I've tried to spare y'all from this. You ain't going to be naked on a cloud playing harp. All right, there's a lot of mystery to what I'm telling you. I want to give you a quick overview. Where we're going to disagree is on that judgment seat of Christ, starting right there. Here's the biggest overlap in disagreements, is between what happens on the rapture and what happens on the millennial reign of Christ. Because in Scripture, it has been my experience that most of us get those terms wrong. Sometimes we're talking about the rapture of the church, and then sometimes we're talking about the second coming of Christ. Those are two distinct, different things that are going to happen, and I'll try to explain some of that. But a lot of people aren't sure where that should be. You know, in general, we die. Number two, we go to heaven, all right? And it's phase one of heaven. Many call it intermediate heaven. Many people call it the temporary heaven. And then, at some point, we're going to be raptured out of here. So if your mom, like mine, passed away a couple of weeks ago, so she's in the intermediate heaven right now. She's with the Lord, probably pestering the dickens out of him. All right? And then the rapture is going to happen. But what's going to happen in 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 John 3, is at that point, she and her body will be reunited, because I believe she's a soul, she's a spirit right now in the presence of Christ, kind of, and I'll explain that in just a second. Most theologians believe that the judgment seat of Christ will be right after that. The judgment seat of Christ is not to determine whether you get to go to heaven or hell. There's two judgments in the end. If you're a believer, you're good, but you're going to be judged based on what you did and did not do, not whether or not you've sinned, because Jesus has ultimately paid for your sins, and he got judged for it. And then after that, we'll go into the millennial reign of Christ. We will have different bodies then, because that happens, I believe, at the rapture. And then we'll go into the new heaven and the new earth. And it's interesting that heaven first, we go up. Heaven second, it comes down. The new heaven and the new earth is our final place, all right? Let's go through the next steps. So the next step, which is not a step at all, is death. And so in Luke, pretty descriptive story in Luke chapter 16. This time, the time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The flip side of that is you've got a rich man that is, it doesn't go well for him. He is not a believer, all right? And a lot of people say, well, that's just one of the parables. If it's one of the parables, if it's just an analogy or a metaphor or a parable, why in the world did he actually put a person's name in that, name Lazarus? And it wasn't his buddy Lazarus. I thought that was very interesting. Billy Graham said this, death for the Christian cuts the cord that holds us captive in this present world. And I believe that, this present evil world. So that the angels may transport believers to their heavenly inheritance. And of course, we know that Billy Graham beat us there. Billy Graham believed that part of the ministry of angels was upon a believer's death, they were soon to be escorted to heaven by the angels. Now, I always try to tell y'all when I have extra biblical content, okay? In other words, the story I'm telling you is not in the Bible. The story that I'm telling you was verified by several good, godly people. But right over there, right up the road, north of Pine Mills, was a godly man, and he was on his deathbed. And I was real close with the family. When it was all said and done, my buddy, he said, did you hear about what happened to my daughter? I said, no, sir. And I mean, he died that day. This gentleman died that day. But he said, none of the family was in there. We was in the living room and in the kitchen. And my little girl went in there, and we could hear her talking to her pawpaw, but wasn't sure what was going on. She came back out, and they said, well, who are you talking to? She said, I don't know, but there was a couple of men in there. It kind of looked like they was dressed in white. Now, they grilled that poor little girl in every way, form, and fashion. But that was one of the many stories that I've heard at deathbed scenes. And trust me, guys, there's deathbed stories. Voltaire was an atheist. He has a terrible deathbed story. And we're not going to get into it right now, but if angels will transport you and I, there's a good chance that demons will transport people that are unbelievers. And so we find the first step in reality as we call it death. We do believe we have an appointed time to die. We do believe that God is sovereign. We do believe that when it's our time, it's our time. But God, that's God's deal. That's why if you ask me to come pray with your sick loved one that's in hospice, I pray for their healing. It's just, I don't know what that looks like. For 3.5 years, I've prayed for my mom's healing. She had dementia. She couldn't go to the restroom. She couldn't talk. She couldn't eat. Bedridden. And so I prayed for God to heal her. And you know what? He did. He did. As a believer, only believers would understand that. They think the rest of us are crazy. All right, let's talk about heaven. I mentioned this last week. Just make sure you know this, is that heaven is a few things. Now, we're talking about phase one heaven, remember? What happens when we die right now? Because Jesus said he's going to the Father. He's building us a place. He's preparing a place for us. So there's, and then what we see in Revelation, the description of the final heaven is much different from what we see in phase one. Now, number one, a couple of observations about heaven. Number one, heaven is immediate. Do not let anybody, a preacher in a dress and a big pointy hat or whatever, that's all I'm gonna say about that, do not let them convince you that there's any other thing that happens other than immediate going to heaven in the presence of Christ, okay? Number one, Luke 16, the time came when the beggar died, the angels carried him to Abraham's side, aka heaven. 2 Corinthians 5, in fact, we are confident and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. Paul even said in Philippians chapter 1, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Skip down to Philippians. After he said that, he said, I am torn between the two, because he knew his death was it was coming up. He said, I long to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. I believe our souls immediately go into the presence of Christ. What does that look like? That's still part of a mystery. I can give you a few little nuggets from Scripture, but you're going to have to pray through that and make up your own mind. I tell you what you're not going to be. Number one, you're not going to be an angel. You're not going to be in soul sleep. That's a very common among some denominations. You're not going to be reincarnated. Although if that were a deal, I would want to come back as a barrel racer's horse. Because they are the most cared for things. Now, Colton, I wouldn't nod too emphatically. She's going to put that elbow right in your nose. And we're not in purgatory. Just not in purgatory. There's nothing in Scripture that supports that at all. Whatever is done, whatever you decide to do with Jesus, you better pick it now. Of course, because according to John 3, that choice is yours. But there's nothing more you can do after you draw your last breath. Now, let's talk about this. I believe heaven, as I've said before, is in phases. I'm not going to go too far into this, but heaven is in phases. So phase one, we find it. And by the way, if you want to read a lot about heaven, some alternate discourse about it, Randy Alcorn has a book on heaven. And he digs deeper than probably any preacher has ever on the topic of heaven. One of you sent in that you wanted to know whether or not your favorite puppy was going to be in heaven. And he even answers that. And I'll eventually address that. We won't always agree. But see, the phases, as we've read in Luke chapter 16, for instance, I'm going to have her put that back on the screen. I'm going to just talk while you just glance over it. This is not anything but a temporary spot. We know that this man went. He was in the presence of the Lord. We understand that. But that scripture does not match up with anything in, for instance, Revelation 21. All right? So there's heaven in phases. Intermediate heaven is where my mama is and where all my friends are that have already died, former students that I've preached their funerals. It's like you buying a piece of property, as I told you last week, and putting an RV there. It's temporary. You like it. You're going to kill your spouse because you ain't got no room. And you look forward. You crave the day when your final home will be built. And that is heaven in phases. Now, here's what I want you to see. Number three, we know heaven is up, so don't ever feel sorry about telling your grandchild that on the other side of at least two heavens, that's where the Lord is, and that is where Grandpa is. Don't ever hesitate. You're not lying when you say that, okay? Now, you might be lying if you say that, well, you are lying if you say your grandpa got his wings. He didn't get his wings. That's not what humans were created for, even at death. But I will tell you with 100% assurance that you can tell your kids that their grandparents are up there. Because, see, there's two skies that we know, right? There's the sky that we see where the birds are. And then the next sky is the planets. And then something beyond that is what we understand is the universe, and it's way beyond it. Scientists tell us there may be several universes, but ultimately that's where the Lord's throne is. That's where God is. That's where I believe our believers that have died in trusting Christ, that's where they're at right now. And so, hey, Jesus, where'd he go? Jesus go down or up when he ascended? Man, you can be from Bullard and know that. Oh, sorry about that, Keith. That just came out, but I always pick on Bullard. A friend of ours from Bullard is here for the first time today, and I'm sure it'll be his last. Can't believe I did that. Acts chapter 1, after he had said this, he was taken up, and they were watching. Jesus went up, and he's going to stay up until the millennium, okay? And we're going to be called up in the rapture, all right? Look what happens in Acts chapter 7. Where did Steve see Jesus? Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to the heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand. He said, look, I see heaven open up, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. He's up. You're up. You want to feel better? Go look up. Go look up. Heaven is amazing. Heaven's awesome. You should hear Paul trying to explain. Y'all ever, it's like some of you guys describing a UFO. KLTV comes out to your house. Sure enough, you got your Cross Brand t-shirt on. And if you don't get into all the surgeries they did on you, you're just going to tell them just how crazy it was. I think Paul, when the Lord allowed him to peek into heaven, he was just blown away. And he would say stuff like this. He said, I must go on boasting. Although there is nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man, that's me, he said, who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. See, that's what I told you, three heavens. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. So Paul's saying, I don't know. I don't know if it's just a vision or he spoke to me in a dream or whether I was literally there. He said, God knows. And I know that this man, that'd be me, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise. What did Jesus tell the thief on the cross? Today you're going to be with me in paradise. And he heard inexpressible things. Paul said, I heard some stuff. I don't even know how to repeat things that no one is permitted to tell. I guarantee you one thing. It sure helped Paul in wanting to be there, though. Whatever he saw, he said, I'm ready. I'm ready to go today. So here's a few thoughts on phase one. And I'll get through them as quick as I can. You ready? Number one, I believe Scripture teaches that we are going to be fully conscious. All right? Now, I have a million scriptures, but I just want you to know, I don't think my mom is not doing anything right now. I don't think my brother is just up there twiddling his thumbs. That's when morrows get in trouble, is when they get bored. Ask my wife. She dreads taking me to the doctor. If it's a red button and it says, do not push, 5 minutes, if he ain't there, I'm pushing every button in that room because I like it. Give you two examples, well, one example in this. Lazarus and the rich man. The rich man is in hell. Lazarus is in heaven. And so you're looking at the differences there. The thing is that the rich man could feel pain. He was very conscious. He uses two words. He says, please send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and put it on my tongue. So there was something there. He was fully conscious that he was in torment. And I believe Lazarus was very conscious that he was being comforted. And then we jump down. We may know one another in heaven. Do you know that? People always ask, are we going to know one another in heaven? Well, I think so. Now, let me tell you why I think so. Not because some book or not some dumb movie in Hollywood, but number one, let's look at some examples. Number one, we call it the Mount of Transfiguration. When was that? Suddenly, two men were talking with him, that's Jesus, Moses and Elijah. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure and what he is going to accomplish. And so the disciples, you can read on, the disciples recognized two men from the Old Testament, Elijah and Moses. They recognized them. Let me give you a spooky one. You ready? This is not a fun one to talk about. Samuel. When I preach on Samuel, so Samuel was a great prophet, but he died. Put those scriptures up there. That goofy Saul, the king at the time, had misbehaved. He goes to a witch. And I don't know how it all happened. I guess God empowered, let her do her witch thing. But boy, she resurrected Samuel. Guess what he was? He mad, which means whatever he was experienced was pretty nice. But people recognized Samuel, even his clothes, when he was called back out of eternity for that significant moment in history. Now, that's not a norm, but that's what happened. I'll tell you something else. Number three, the word may is important here, but we may be aware of things happening on earth. I'm not going to use Hebrews 12 that most people use because there are too many disputes over what Hebrews chapter 12 is. I'm going to tell you that's pretty much the whole book of Hebrews. I have no idea what you're talking about half the time. You have to study really hard in Hebrews. But just think about this. I'm going to give you some other ones, though. There are two different situations in Scripture that indicate we may be aware of things that are happening on earth. Am I covering myself here? Are there any attorneys here? Am I covering myself? We may know some of the things, of course, in God's providence, in his timing. Number one is in Revelation chapter, what is that, Tammy? You caught that. I believe it's Revelation 6. Yeah, in Revelation chapter 6. This is before the mention of the new heaven and the new earth. The angel, the martyrs kept asking the Lord, hey, you haven't punished the people that killed us. So the martyrs in heaven in Revelation chapter 6 were fully aware that their deaths had not been avenged. Number two, the angels. Well, most of us have always thought the angels were the ones that do the clapping when people get saved on earth. A deeper study on that says, especially in some versions of the Bible, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to the God than over the 90. But there are some versions of that that say there's more joy and excitement in the presence of the angels. It doesn't specifically say that the angels are the only ones in heaven that are jumping up and down. So it's very possible. It is very possible when, wow, man, and guys, y'all know how I am. I'm just trying to make this as family friendly as possible. But when my favorite son-in-law, how's that? I have one daughter. When my favorite son-in-law came to us and, you know, his daddy was sick. And boy, David was tough now. David Hernandez, he's tough. But we loved him. And he passed away. But let me tell you what I think happened. And Wrangler, I'm not doing this up to upset you. But it is a very good chance that David knew when Wild Man prayed and asked Jesus to forgive him of his sins. If heaven is comfort, wouldn't it be logical to think that God would let you glimpse into the joys of your family? Is anybody with me? Are y'all too hot? Dude stink beside you? Am I blowing your mind? Am I making stuff up? Guys, I'm just telling you, there's so much to this topic for heaven. Now, a lot of you say, well, let's just get on with it. We're going to heaven when we die. But there's so much information that is misinformation about heaven, all right? And when you quote it, you look like dummies. Sometimes we do. I've been at funerals when I thought, oh my gosh, please don't say that. Please don't say that. All right, real quick, you ready? Here's another one. I'm pretty sure my young adults are gonna eat me alive after this. Number four, here it is, attorneys. Y'all got my back? We may have some form of a body. we may have some form of a body. This is not that resurrected, glorified body that we'll have before the rapture. That's where it gets tricky. So the rapture is to bring home the bodies of deceased saints and the souls and the bodies of the living saints, the living saved, all right? So at some point, we're going to have a really cool body. And I know some of you look at your, you know, you look in the mirror and you go, man, how in the Lord, how could he improve on this body? But I believe, and Tammy, if you'll just put those up there real quick, I believe, number one, the Mount of Transfiguration indicated they had full bodies. Number two, I believe Lazarus and the rich man, they had some kind of body in eternity because the unbeliever's body was in torment. All right? And then finally, you ready? I'll let you out of here to get to the Cracker Barrel. One final thing I want to say about heaven, just for everybody, this is for everybody, is that heaven is 100% guaranteed to anyone who asks for it. We may not agree on all the minute details of this, but we're going to agree that heaven is for real and that heaven is available. In him, you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, which you heard when you heard the word of God of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. He said you are sealed. They did not mess around with seals in the New Testament. They did not mess around with his seal. It was a guarantee from the sender. And listen, God has promised you a lot, but God didn't promise just because you are alive. You are a born body that you get to go to heaven. You inherit a lot of stuff. Many of you have inherited the looks of your mama. You're beautiful. Many of you have inherited athletic ability. And people are going, where'd that come from? I'm the tallest Morrow, me and Micah, on record, except for the first one in Wood County in the 1850s. His name was Jehazy. We're fixing to name a grandson after him. And Hayes, he's coming. Be warned. But we can't inherit eternal life through our parents or through our legacies, their religious legacies. It is you calling on the Lord. And look at what C.S. Lewis said as I close. He said, if you read history, you'll find that the Christians who did the most for this present world were just those who thought the most about the next, about heaven. It is, since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world, they have become pretty effective in this one. I see this all the time. I see it in some people's behavior that call themselves Christians at a restaurant when they're more worried about their stupid sweet tea than they are the soul of a server. I see it all the time when, I got to have a few little deals done on Wednesday with my ticker, but I am not going to go in there and misrepresent Jesus by being grumpy to a nurse. It's not going to. You know why? Because I think about eternity a lot. So how about you? Number one, as a Christian, are you behaving like there is an eternity to the outside world? And number two, is everybody here cool with where you would go if you were to die today? You got that nailed down, guys? He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. Have you invited Christ to forgive you of your sins? Let's pray. Lord, I'll save the prayers this morning for the Christians till later. My prayer right now is for anyone here that does not have you in their soul. I pray today if there's someone here that isn't saved, someone here that does not have any assurance of heaven, that they'll do two things. Number one, they'll acknowledge that you are Lord. You came out of that grave. And number two, they'll invite you to forgive them of their sin. from right where they sit or down front. In Christ's name, amen.